Well, you are listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast, episode whatever it is, 50? I don't know.
Somewhere up there.
But thanks for tuning in. We are down a man today. You know, yeah. Let's talk about fond memories of Cameron like he's dead. Oh. You know, I remember him.
Oh, I thought you were saying that he's dead and that's a fond memory
like
you have of him.
Dead to us? Yeah. No, Cam had some stuff going on. So my name's Andrew. And I was going to say with me as always is Cam, but he's not. But across the table from me is Corland.
Hello, hello.
So thanks for tuning in, especially if this is maybe your first time listening. Would encourage you to go back. And we got a bunch of episodes where we talk about theology and the Bible and the Christian life, and basically the idea of the podcast. You know, a long time ago, me and Pastor Don, when he was working here, we would do one just kind of answering questions that people had. And then, you know, Corland and Cameron and myself, we wanted to do a podcast about theology and what we believe about God, and then why that is actually important. Why does it matter? And how does it affect the way you live? So if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, we've talked, is it like 3 or 4 weeks now about spiritual gifts?
Yeah,
it's hard because we took like a month break, yeah. So it feels like we've been talking about it forever.
Yeah, we have a number of episodes out on spiritual gifts and how to use them and what they are.
Yeah, so we've covered, I guess, and it's bad, but when I texted the guys, it was kind of like, should we talk about the normal gifts, which is not a good thing.
The average spiritual
gifts. Yeah, right? The non-crazy ones. But we started with, you know, the sign gifts. So speaking in tongues and prophecy and healing. And, what most people would say, like, those aren't the normal gifts, right? So this morning we want to spend, you know, one last episode talking about the normal gifts. And again, I guess no spiritual gift is normal because it's, you know, this gift that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, but we do want to talk about, I don't know, some of the less flashy ones, if you want to call it that. So, I don't remember if we talked about this already about, and maybe we'll get to it, you know, what our spiritual gifts are. And maybe how we figured out what they were. Did we talk about that?
I think we touched on it on probably our opening episode. I do remember talking a little bit about it. We didn't talk lots, but...
Yeah.
Well, we talked lots, but not about
that. Yeah, but not about that. hey, before we dive into this, what are your thoughts on the whole, like, Todd White repenting? And so some of you maybe don't know who Todd White is, but Todd White's is very famous. You know, he's got long dreads and he's got this crazy backstory and he's this very famous Christian evangelist, you would call him. I don't know. But anyways, kind of sketchy, and you know, he walks around lengthening people's legs and he's got some weird theology. But anyways, last week, or I guess now 2 weeks ago, there this video came out, Todd White repents. So did you watch that?
I watched some of it.
Yeah.
I didn't watch enough to be able to willingly say, hey, this is what I think about it. However, if his repentance is sincere and true and from the heart, amazing. Awesome.
Yeah.
All for it.
Yeah, because if you watch it, and sometimes I can get myself in trouble because I pay way too much attention to, like, Christian
news.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it. And part of me is like, I should just not pay attention to it. But yeah, he preached some sermon basically where he actually said, you know, I repent. I haven't preached the whole gospel, and you know, you got to talk about sin, and you know, Jesus saves us from sin. And I was like, oh, that's promising. That's really cool. But here's kind of the disappointing thing. Like the very next week, he kind of like, let's backpedal a little bit. And so I was like, oh man, don't backpedal. But I'm with you. If there's some people who are like very critical, and some people who are like jumping on the bandwagon, yay! And I'm kind of in the middle, like, just give it time, see what happens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If he changes his ways, if he goes out and lengthens people's legs as a parlor trick, did he repent? I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, some of you are like, I don't care,
but some might. So,
But anyway, so let's talk about spiritual gifts. So I don't know, Corlin, where you want to start. If you want to read one of the passages or just kind of dive into some of what some of the other gifts are. I know you were talking about 1 Corinthians.
Yeah. Well, I think first off, I want to say that I am continuously amazed at how hard it is to find stuff online that's credible when it comes to researching spiritual gifts. Like, yeah, the amount of times that I've been like, okay, all right, I'm going to look up spiritual gifts and look into them from a biblical perspective. And then you get stuff with the Eye of Ra marked all over it. Or you get, like, really, really charismatic Christian stuff that borderlines not being Christian about how to find your spiritual gifts and grow in them and stuff. Huh. It's really hard to find stuff like that. I think actually you had a better list, like an actual list of what the spiritual gifts are. So I think if we just want to read that, that might be a good place to start.
Yeah. So basically there's a couple passages, right? The spiritual gift passages. So Romans 12 is one. And so that in Romans 12, you know, he, and maybe I'll just read some of it because Romans 12 is kind of a shorter condensed list, but Paul's talking about, you know, though we're many, we're one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This is verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. Then he talks about, you know, if prophecy, proportions your faith, if service in your serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So basically, you know, we've covered prophecy. So in there, acts of service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and then mercy. So those are kind of the, how many was that? Six gifts there. And then 1 Corinthians 12 is the other passage, you know, the spiritual gifts passage. And it's much longer because Paul goes into his, like, you know, if you were, you know, there's an eye and an ear and we're all members of the body and you can't say that, oh, I wish I was an ear because then there wouldn't be any eyes. So he gets into that whole thing. But basically, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about words of wisdom. And I won't read all of the passage, but words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, miracles, distinguishing between spirits. And then he spends a lot of time in chapter 14 talking specifically about prophecy and tongues, which we've already covered. And then in 1 Peter 4, there's two that are mentioned, and Peter says, whoever speaks and whoever renders service. So like speaking and then acts of service. So if you were going to kind of boil them all down, the ones that we really haven't talked about are acts of service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and acts of mercy. So those are kind of the, air quote, normal gifts. Which again, and I know we're joking, but in all reality, none of these gifts are, we shouldn't classify them, right? Because that's, actually it's funny, that's what was happening in the church in Corinth. Mm-hmm. They were saying like, I have the better gift. And Paul writes and he goes, the whole point of him writing was like, guys, each gift is important. So I know we're kind of joking, but I should clarify, like we're not actually saying that, I only have acts of service as my gift. Like that's exactly what the church was doing. And Paul says, no, don't do that. They're all important. So, so what do you think? Like, so let's just walk through some of these then. Obviously, you know, teaching, we would kind of all know what that is.
Yeah. I think that with that being said, that we all know what some of these are.
Sure.
Like not just teaching. Some of them will recognize the words, will know how to put it into context better. I think with that, really, really quickly before we dip into that, I want to just ask. So can someone who's not a Christian still be gifted in teaching? What's the difference between a spiritual gift and just being gifted in teaching? Because I think that, like, God obviously has created humanity to be good at certain things, right?
Yeah,
And so what's the difference between a Christian who's good at teaching and what's the difference between them and a non-Christian who is good at teaching or showing mercy to someone, if that's possible? I assume it is because we're created in God's image.
No, impossible.
Oh, shit. I'm just kidding. You hear it here, folks.
Jesus? No, but I think... that's the That's a good, if you ever don't know the answer, just say Jesus. But I think in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, I think Paul talks about that it's for the building up of the church. That's what these gifts are for. These gifts aren't for our own building up. They're not even for just random, right? Like, I have the gift of leadership, and I work at Google, and so I'm making lots of money because I'm good at leading. Well, you might be gifted in leadership, mm-hmm. but these spiritual gifts are for the building up of the church. They're for our sanctification. They're for the ministry of the gospel. So that makes it a little bit different. But I agree. I know non-Christians who I'm like, man, you are a gifted teacher. If you watch, you know, if you watch TED Talks, if you watch any of those are people that I'm like, man, you are just good at engaging people, right? Yeah. And you're talking about, I don't know, engineering or something, and it's like, wow, that's really interesting. And there's lots of people who are very good at teaching, but I guess where I would say it differs is the spiritual gift of teaching would be teaching the Bible as a way to build up the saints in the church, build up those who are following Jesus.
Do you think they carry over? And by carry over, I mean, if you were a non-Christian, good at teaching, and you became a Christian, would you expect that gift to carry over into your Christian life? Or do you think that the Holy Spirit would grant us new spiritual gifts?
Yeah, that's a good question. What do you think about that? Do you think there's some overlap?
I think that there is some overlap. I think that the Holy Spirit, if you were a non-Christian, good at something, have one of these gifts, and then you became a Christian, I don't think that, at least to me, I don't think it would make sense, and I don't see it.
Yeah, man, I would just suck at teaching
snip
now.
Those guys, right in the middle of your life, that he would just end it. He might, but I don't think so, because I think that God has created each of us in a certain way for a certain reason. I don't mean that your greater purpose in life is going to come from these gifts, but like, they're woven into us, right? And so I think that it would, maybe don't trademark this phrase because I might butcher it, but I feel like they're Holy Spirit amplified then, like that the Holy Spirit would actually work through those gifts then, and I think that's what would make them a spiritual gift at that point. Yep. It's not so much then that you're good at them, it's that the Holy Spirit would be using them through you.
Yeah, and I think you make a really good point, because, again, like, I think sometimes we over-mystify things. And yes, there's an element of, and I want to be careful because you don't want to swing the other way where there's like nothing miraculous or amazing about Christianity. There is, absolutely. But I think in our day and age, we've like over-mystified it, where, so like when you become a follower of Jesus and the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and then you're given gifts to build up his church, I don't think it's like a, I received my download electricity, right? And so I think you're right that, God creates each of us with unique personalities and natural abilities and gifts. And so I think there can absolutely be overlay, but I will say this, not always. There was a guy that I knew in the last church that we were at, and he really believed that he was really good at preaching and teaching because, well, I've taken all of these public speaking courses, and I did this when I was a banker and I was in the real world, and I gave presentations.
Yeah.
So, obviously I'm just going to be, because that's what I did. And he just didn't engage with people because I don't think it was his gift. So I think yes, that can happen, but also there is a difference between teaching biology and, finances and teaching the Word of God. There's a difference. So I think sometimes, if you're a gifted teacher and you become a believer, there can be all of a sudden like, I'm gifted in teaching the Bible, but not always.
Yeah.
Right. So, because vice versa, like one of my gifts is teaching, but I can't go and teach about anything, right? Because people will be like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And yet I think I am gifted in teaching the Bible. So there, it's kind of this unique.
Yeah, I think it's one of those important things to
distinguish.
I think it's one of the important things to distinguish is that there's a difference between being gifted in a way and being good at something.
Totally. Yep.
So I would define those or separate those two by saying a gift is something that comes naturally or is given for purposes within the church. Being good at something is generally, I would say, something you've had to practice to get good at.
Totally. Yep.
Does that mean you can't practice using your spiritual gifts and get better at using them? No. However, yep. I think that being good at something is different because that would be something that is a solely practiced skill that you chose to get better at. Whereas yeah. your gifts is something that the Holy Spirit would have given you.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's a level of competence in that already.
That's a really good way to put it. Because some people, you know, I think my spiritual gift is playing drums. And I'm like, well, I think you're just talented. I don't think that's necessarily a spiritual gift because, one, it's not really listed as. But you're right. You put in practice. You've been playing for 10 years. You're really good at drums. And that's a talent that you have. But I don't think that it's a spirit-empowered gift because, you know, there's lots of really good drummers who aren't followers of Jesus. So I think, again, we look at the word and we go, okay, these are the gifts that Paul and Peter and others talk about. So those must be the ones that are important.
Yeah.
And you very well may be talented in a lot of other areas. So that's a really good point to distinguish. Yeah. The difference between that, like, yeah, I can play drums, but I've been practicing and playing, and it's not a spiritual gift. And I'll say this too. How do you know then what your spiritual gift is? And maybe we'll get into that in a bit.
Spiritual gift test.
Yeah, spiritual gift test. But I would say this, when I've noticed this, like my gifts are, you know, preaching, teaching, and leading. And I would say, you know, that one of the ways that I know that it's my gift is, one, what's the way to put that? It's kind of like your sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Like when I preach and teach, I just love, I couldn't imagine not doing that, right? That's my sweet spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people who talk about like burnout in ministry, I think that you get burnt out in ministry because you're not actually using your gifts. And I think, and I could be wrong, but I think we see a lot of pastors who have to preach every week and it's not their gift. And then they get burnt out because they go, because then it becomes a chore. Oh, I have to like write a sermon and I have to get up and preach every week. And then it just is stressful.
Yeah.
And I think when you're using your gift and any of the gifts, if you're, you know, if your gift is giving or discernment or acts of service, it's not going to be like, oh, someone's asking for help again and I have to go serve them. You would be like, yes, because it's your gift and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, and I think we'll get to in a bit, how do you figure out what your gift is? But one of the ways that you know that that's your gift is that you come alive when you do it because it's the Holy Spirit gifting you to do that. Yeah. Have you noticed that in your area of gifting?
Yeah. It's funny because I think that my instant reaction, if someone was to be like, so what are your spiritual gifts? I don't really know.
Do you think because we're afraid of being like prideful or confident about it? Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I would definitely say that that's a factor. I think the other thing is that even though generally speaking, I think the North American church is like, yeah, there are spiritual gifts. It's something that like we probably have stated before, isn't really taught.
Sure.
Like we'd be like, oh yeah, no, this is a gift. Or you might see someone, you know, pick up some papers for an elderly person and you'd be like, wow, you have the gift of mercy. Like that was so generous. Like almost we make it really corny. We make it really cheesy instead of recognizing in a sense how average and normal these should be in the church. Right?
Totally.
I think yes, though, to answer your question and not sidestep any more of your questions. I think that yes, I have seen it in my life. And I think another key element to that is not only will you be comfortable in that, not only will it be like your sweet spot where serving or doing ministry in that way is easy. I think generally speaking, maybe not even generally speaking, I think quite literally, other Christians will see you using that gift.
Totally.
And encourage it.
Yep.
I think that's taught biblically. I think that's taught or should be taught in the church, right? Like,
yeah.
If you see someone who's using their spiritual gifts and they are good at it, tell them.
Yeah, totally.
Not to build them up, but to help them recognize, like, hey, this is an area where God's gifted you. You're,
yep.
You are strong in this area because of what God's done, right?
Yep.
So I think that that's more so the area that I've seen it is people coming forward and being like, hey, like, I'm actually pretty good at that.
I think that might be a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
More so than me just, like, you know, getting nice and cozy right in the spot where I think that I might be gifted.
Yeah.
If other people are telling you, there's a good chance they're seeing something that you might not even.
Yeah.
So.
And I think, too, there's this, I think we, and we talked about that with the miraculous sign gifts, but I think also we kind of classify, and maybe this is a North American thing, like people who are on the stage, right? And we go like, oh yeah, like preaching or leading worship or... And then those are the gifts. And then I think then what it leads to is, and I think there's a whole bunch of stuff coming together, this consumerism in the church. And
yeah.
But a lot of times we just view like Sunday morning on stage, that's where spiritual gifts are used. And it's not. It's the 7 days a week, you know, normal. Again, it's like they're normal everyday things that we do. But again, I think we've done that because we've, like the spotlight teaching gifts or the stuff on the stage. It's like those are, and I've heard this and it drives me crazy, man. You, Andrew, people have said this, you're like really anointed. And I'm always like, shut up. Like every follower of Jesus is anointed. Sorry. I thought maybe I did, but it just drives me crazy. We have like long time faithful followers of Jesus, man, Andrew, you're like really anointed. And I'm like, stop. If you follow Jesus, then you're anointed as well. Like, it's not the Old Testament where like, oh, that guy has the Holy Spirit and I don't. No, we all do. And exactly what Paul says, he uses this metaphor. If we were all ears, there would be no eyes. If we were all preachers, there would be no one who was taking care of people. And he's saying, and then the church would suffer. If we were all, had gifts of prophecy, we would all stand around and give prophetic words to each other, and no one would give financially, and then the church would close its doors. So again, just to encourage you, every follower of Jesus has gifts and they're so crucial. Maybe it's a North American thing where we've just elevated like, whoa, that guy on stage or that girl on stage or that super talented, blah, 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 blah. I don't have any of that kind of stuff, right?
I feel like that's a human thing.
North America. Yeah, that's true.
Although I think our culture is kind of almost built to put people in a spotlight.
It is, yeah. And then the sad thing, and I know we're all over the place because all these rabbit trails, but the sad thing is then really, you know, deceitful, crooked people latch onto that, and I am super anointed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, pay me to come into your town
and I
kind of talked about it on Sunday, like be more like me because I'm a super Christian who has all these gifts and you, oh, you're just a regular. This is garbage. Yeah. So
to focus.
Yeah.
Since we're really good at going on rabbit trails. How about we walk through the list of spiritual gifts that we have and give like a short and quick explanation
of what it is
and how it could be used in the church or
totally.
How we've maybe seen it used in the church, just to kind of like clarify if there's any words that people haven't heard before or not sure how that
totally.
Would fit into the church.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a few spots, it talks about serving or whoever renders service. That's in 1 Peter 4. Whoever renders service, Romans talks about. If you have the gift of serving, and I don't think 1 Corinthians specifically talks about serving, but maybe.
I don't think.
No, I think Paul more focuses on other gifts, which is fine. So what would be, you know, I have the spiritual gift of serving.
Potlucks.
Yes. Yes. But I would say if you have the gift of serving or acts of service, you would be a, I'm a behind the scenes person. I don't want to be in the spotlight at all. Let me just help people. And I know that we have so many people in our church like this. Hey, if you ever need anything, just let me know. Right. Yeah. If you have a door that's broken, I'll just come over and fix it for you. Like that would be acts of service. You know, if there's a single mom that can't afford an oil change, I know how to do that. Just call me and I'll come do it.
Yeah.
Those are people who, and oftentimes, you know, I ask someone, hey, would you want to, you know, read some scripture on stage or would you want to put, nope. Acts of service people usually are like, no, I don't want to ever be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Just let me, and don't tell anybody that I'm doing this, just, right? Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that it's, and by add, maybe not add new stuff, but just kind of reiterate as well. I think acts of service is one of those things, like you said, that's generally, at least generalized to be behind the scenes. However, those things that you do behind the scenes are seen.
Totally.
It'd be like, in a theater term, being the guy who opens the curtain.
Yeah.
Everybody sees that the curtain's being opened and closed. They just don't see who's doing it.
Yeah, totally.
So there's a perfect example of it's still important.
Yeah.
Like if that's an area where God's gifted you, it's still important to use those gifts to edify the church.
And I would say usually those are just as powerful as a sermon.
Yeah.
Because those impact people like massively. You know, the other 6 days a week, those are huge when someone goes like, wow, you would actually go out of your way. And oftentimes, why would you do this for me? And it's, well,
or an individual might even say something like, man, I was just praying that God would send someone who did this. And you wouldn't have even necessarily known except for feeling convicted to maybe go and talk to that person about doing that.
Yeah. So that's a massively important gift. And I know lots of people in our church that have that. Not even exaggerating. On Sunday, someone told me, I'm just a hands-on guy. Let me know if there's ever anything needs that people have. I'm like, awesome. I think you have the gift of service. That's great. So that would be that one. You know, we've covered teaching, but teaching goes beyond the Sunday morning preaching. Teaching would be our teachers downstairs with the kids. I guess not right now, but it would be teaching a life group. I guess the gift of teaching would be, and this is where you get into the difference between teaching and preaching, which maybe is a different podcast, but the gift of teaching would be I can explain and help people understand the Bible and what it means to follow Jesus. And I guess the gift of teaching would be it that you're just really good at that. You're able to explain the Bible. You're able to answer people's questions. And you can kind of facilitate, you know, people growing in their knowledge of the Bible.
And I think that being said, I don't think that means that you've had to have gone to Bible school or anything like that to use that gift. I think that the gift of teaching, if we're speaking biblically and about the Bible, like teaching on the Bible, you might just be able to understand what's being said. You might not know all the Greek or Roman or whatever language words were used in the original text. You might not know those and be able to explain them in depth.
Yep.
However, if you're reading a passage and you're able to tell someone what is being said here and you're able to tell it to them and they're able to understand it, you might be gifted in that area.
Yep, totally. Exhortation.
I like that word.
What does that mean?
That's a good question.
What do you think?
At least to my knowledge, exhortation is essentially just being able to take what's being said in the Bible and I don't, oh man, words are hard right now. Go ahead, Andrew, fill in my blank.
If I was going to exhort someone.
Lifting them up, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it would be using the word to do that. Whether you want to call it encouragement or exhortation, you know, other depending on what translation of the Bible you read, it would be being really good at, building up someone or encouraging them. And just in a way that I think if it was your spiritual gift, one, it just feels like it comes naturally to you. And then, like you said, it's like people go, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Like, man, how did you know, right, that that's what I was going through? And that's oftentimes when you go, I didn't. I just felt like I was supposed to encourage you in this way. And so that's what I would call the gift of exhortation. If you wanted to make it easier. It's encouraging people. It's building them up. Yeah. I don't know if you need to say more about that.
No, I think you nailed it.
The gift of giving.
Obviously the big tithers.
And I would say, and I've seen this is people who God has blessed either financially or with resources, and they are incredibly generous.
Or with the willingness to give, even if
they don't have
the financial.
I would say that, someone who just naturally, we've been blessed by several people in our congregation that have the gift of giving, where you just go, I can't accept this. Like, and they just go, nope. And I've even had, like, God told me, God impressed upon me that this, I'm supposed to give this to you. And you just go, and oftentimes that's exactly what we needed. How did you know? I didn't know, but. You know, you hear all sorts of stories like that. Someone who had a gas bill. I can't afford the gas bill this month, and it's $122. And then someone from the church, you know, puts it in an envelope, and it's exactly $122.
And it's in their mailbox.
You go, that's the gift of giving, I think. Someone who just is obedient to God's, you know, nudging that I'm just going to be generous with either money or even generous with my time or my resources. I love to do that. I love to just help people and give stuff away.
Yep.
Gifts of mercy. What does that mean?
That one I'm genuinely curious about as well, because I think that that's one that's not necessarily put in a spotlight ever in the church.
Yeah.
Because even a gift like giving, I think that's one that often can be like, it's relatively easy if you're paying attention. Or paying attention where you shouldn't be, to see someone putting in $500 into the tithe bag, bowl, whatever you want to call it.
yep.
And so, like, it's relatively easy to see or experience someone being really generous like that and the Holy Spirit blessing you in that way. But I think that acts of mercy, we don't necessarily always see or understand even. However, that being said, I think acts of mercy in the church is something as simple as, what's the word? My brain is not bringing up words for me today. Someone showing care towards someone who's struggling, like in a merciful way. I don't mean that to be like, you know, someone's dog died and you're like, hey, like, that's really rough. But like...
Fido's in a better place.
I mean that as in like... I don't know. Say someone has genuinely messed up in the church. Sin has fallen into sin. I'm not even going to give an example of what type of sin, but just fallen into sin.
Yep.
And this person might see that you're repentant and they show mercy towards you and stand by you and help you and try and bring you into it. I would say that's an example of using the gift of mercy in the church. What about you? What would you say?
Yeah, I'd say it's... people who can very sincerely show compassion to people. And I would say, you know, as an example, you know, and there's a guy in our church that does this. He'll just on his own time go to the hospital and visit people, even people he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And I would say that's an act of mercy. He's showing mercy to these people, compassion. And I would say for people who have that gift, usually you know who these people are, because they are the people who, you know, they see someone crying alone and they just come up, put their arm around them. Hey, can I pray for you? And that's some, you know, lots of people don't do that because it's just, that feels uncomfortable. Or we make excuses, but the person with the gift of mercy says, I see someone that's hurting. I need to go and comfort them.
Yeah.
Show compassion, show mercy to them. So I think both of... And lots of people have that gift. And I think lots of people have that gift and don't realize that that's a spiritual gift. And it's just as important as any of these other gifts, right? Because God wants us to show mercy to one another. And so if you have that gift, that's massively important for those who are struggling or those who are sick or those who are in sin, and to be the person that goes and shows compassion and mercy, that's huge.
Yeah.
What about distinguishing between spirits?
That one sounds mystical.
Yeah. I would also call that discernment.
Yeah. I think that one is one that, to put a really simple example out, is if you are going to do something and you feel convicted that you shouldn't, and I don't mean this to be like, oh, hey, I'm going to go buy this chocolate bar. Oh, wait, I probably shouldn't. I mean it in the sense of, like, I don't know, down to a simple thing, like, say someone's wanting to go to a certain movie with a group.
Mm-hmm.
And you're feeling like maybe you guys really shouldn't, that it's not something that you guys should be doing. I'm not saying that there's necessarily spirits attached to the movie kind of thing, but what I would say is that it is a gift, I think, that God's given certain people to I don't want to use new agey words, but to kind of feel out the situation and know whether or not it'll actually help them on their walk with Christ.
Yeah.
Because if I can be as bold to say, if you're not directly following Christ, you're not fence sitting, you're going the other way.
Sure.
And so I think the spirit of discernment helps and can be used by Christians to kind of help guide not certain people, the church, and help them figure out where they need to go to be following God instead of following the world.
Yeah, totally. I would totally agree. And even in everyday life, but then even I also think discerning, you know, teaching, people who just go, people with the gift of discernment, you know, listen to a teaching, and there are people who are able to go like, there's something off.
Yeah.
This is not right.
Yeah.
And then know why. Well, because he said this, and that's not right. Lots of Christians, unfortunately, don't have the gift of discernment, and we just kind of eat up whatever is taught. And so someone with the gift of discernment, how they edify the body is they go, they're able to go, yeah, what he was teaching is actually not true. Like, let me show you how, you know, they're distinguishing between, and yeah, we need to get over the distinguishing between spirits. Oh, is this a demon or an angel? I don't think that's what Paul means. I think he's talking about discerning true teaching and false teaching, discerning sin and whatever you want to call it, righteousness, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Exactly what you're talking about. I think people who have the gift of discernment, they're just, they come across as very wise, in my opinion, just people who go, man, you just are able to know right from wrong and truth from error. Like, you're just really good at that. That's what I would say for that. I think that's all of the, quote, normal ones.
Yeah.
But here's a question I have for you. So if I don't have these gifts, does that mean that I don't have to serve or show mercy or have discernment?
I think,
because I've heard that, whoop, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I don't need to tell my neighbor about Jesus. I've actually heard that. Leave that to the evangelists. So what do you think?
I would say that's a really cheap way of getting out of it. With that specific example, mainly because the Great Commission is to go and tell others about the gospel.
Yeah.
As for other gifts, like to say, oh, I don't have the gift of spiritual discernment, so I don't need to discern what's right or wrong.
Yeah, right.
Like, you can see where that goes, right?
Yeah.
I think that it's a cheap, a really, really cheap way of being lazy.
Sure.
And spiritually lazy,
yeah,
specifically.
Yeah, because I think all Christians were called to show mercy, we're called to give, we're called to have discernment, we're called to exhort one another, we're called to serve. Like, I think every Christian is called to all of these things, but where it comes with spiritual gifts is those are people who those things just, they excel in them, they come easy to them, they love doing these things. So I think, you know, me as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to show mercy to people because there's plenty of other scriptures that tell me so. But someone with the gift of mercy, that's their sweet spot, and that's it comes naturally to them, and they want to do that. For me, I have to really push my shelf. We can't talk today. Distinguish. I have to really push. Oh my gosh. Anyways, push myself to do that. The guy that goes to the hospital and walks around and just shows mercy to everybody, I really have to push yourself to do that. But I know I'm called to do it. I can't just go, I don't have to show mercy because it's not my gift. Yeah. Evangelism. There are people that they are just so good at that. And I can go talk to lost people. Yeah. But I can't just say, not my gift, not my problem. No, I'm, like you said, I'm called to go and tell people about Jesus. But again, it's not in my comfort zone. I got to really push beyond the awkwardness of it and do it, right? So I think for lots of these gifts, it's not, you may not be gifted in it, but, you know, we're still called to give.
Yeah.
So if someone comes to me with a need, I don't go, call the next guy who's, that's his gift. That's not my gift. No, I give, right? So I think that's a really good reminder that we don't use the spiritual gift thing as like a cop-out that we go, well, it's not my gift, so I don't have to do it, right? But again, like if you're not gifted in preaching, we're not going to force you to, well, you have to do it. Well, no. Because that would be bad for everybody, right?
So for someone, like, I know we've touched on it a little bit here and there in this one, here and there in some other podcasts. For someone who might not know what their spiritual gifts are, or who's a new Christian and is trying to figure out what their gifts are and where they can serve in the church with them, how would you suggest biblically going about figuring out
spiritual gift
what
test.
Your... Yeah. Well, actually, I was going to say that, as cheap as it sounds, I think that is actually... Or can be a beneficial way of trying to figure out what your gifts are, because oftentimes our gifts line up with our character.
Totally.
So, I don't know.
No, they are. They are helpful because I think it gives you a good – because basically it's a personality test if you want to be honest. And then it you're right that oftentimes our gifts go along with our personality. Oftentimes, not always. So those gifts are a good – you look at it and you go, oh, okay. Because I've taken tests and you go, yep, that's pretty much what I thought, right? Yeah. And you go, okay, that's helpful to kind of know.
Yeah.
I would say another really good way, and you already touched on that, is when people encourage you, when they see you, my goodness, this is terrible. when they see in you.
Cam leaves and we fall
apart. Right. When people see you using or – serving somewhere and they go, I'm pretty sure that might be your gift.
Yeah.
That was huge for me. When I was in high school, I began to teach a Sunday school class for like grade four boys or something like that, grade three or four boys. And I remember, planning lessons and teaching these guys. And I don't remember who it was, but one of the parents after one of the Sunday school things said to me, man, my son really enjoys your class. I think you might be gifted in teaching. And that's stuck with me. I just went, maybe I am. And then, I remember I preached my first sermon, Romans 1, or Psalm 1 was my first sermon in big boy church. And I remember afterwards, a few people came up and they encouraged me and said, wow, that was really good. I think you might be gifted in this. So I would say, one, if you see people doing things that they just seem really natural or it has blessed you, encourage them. Because that lady, almost 20 years ago, for me, that still stuck with me. And she had no idea that would kind of help me understand, maybe this is where God has gifted me. So I think encouraging one another where you see people using their gifts, do it. The other thing I would say is if you're not sure, then try stuff.
Yep.
As corny as that sounds, if you're like, I have no idea where I fit in the body, try stuff. And I'll give you an example. There was one person who taught Sunday school downstairs. And after it's not a semester, but anyways, after a season of that, they went, yeah, it's not for me. Okay, great.
Yeah.
You tried it, and you're not gifted in teaching. That's great.
Yeah.
Or, you know, try, I don't know, whatever. Try giving.
Here's the link.
Right. E-transfers at North Peace MB Church. Just try it, right? Or try, you know, acts of service, or try, you know, whatever. So I think that's one way. And also, I think a spiritual gift is something where you feel very much alive. And that's such a corny way to say it. But you feel very much alive and refreshed and encouraged when you use your gift. I have found that in my own life. Like when I preach, it is very tiring, but I feel very... I hate using it. It sounds so corny. I feel very alive when I'm doing it.
Yeah. I think that's part, like, language here is partly why it's hard to find information on this, is because, like we've said, some of these things sound cheap or corny. However, there's truth to that.
Yeah, totally.
There's truth to what we're saying about this. However, we shouldn't be chasing feelings when we're using our gifts.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
That's not to say that you can't, you know, serve someone and be like, man, that felt amazing. Like, I really enjoy. Someone encourages you and you'd be like, oh, shoot, I can't do this because I felt good. I can't chase feelings.
Yeah, right.
No, I think then is a good time to say to not take scripture out of context. Don't just read these gifts and try and use the gifts just for using the gifts. Underneath 1 Corinthians 12 is 1 Corinthians 13, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And...
that's good.
If you read it in context of chapter 12, Paul goes into speaking about essentially walking in love of God and love of other people.
Yeah.
And if to really condense it, since we're running out of time, essentially what he's saying is, if you do anything, whether it's using spiritual gifts or anything else in life, and it's without love... so we can, I think, pretty safely assume love of God and love of other people. You're like a noisy gong just banging around.
Yep.
And so I think it's important to remember that these spiritual gifts, like we've said before today, are to edify the church, are to build up the church, both spiritually for the members that are there and in number for the members who are coming.
Yep.
I think that's the purpose of these gifts. No matter what church you're in, to use these gifts is to edify the church.
Yeah.
That's what makes them beautiful. That's why God gave them to the church.
Yeah.
It wasn't so that you would look really good when you gave $500 when you only had 600. It's not so that you'd look good when you went and put arms on someone when they were crying and no one else would.
Yeah.
It's because God is using each of us. The Holy Spirit is using each of us as vessels to complete the work of God in building the kingdom.
That's so good. I'm not even going to add anything. That's perfect. A perfect way to wrap it up. Before we go, hopefully that's been helpful, but I'm just going to throw a little plug out there. I have no idea how many people listen to this. I've had some good feedback from several people. If you are interested in sponsoring or supporting this podcast, there's a really practical way you can do that. Right now, we are sitting in the sound booth of the church with some microphones plugged into the soundboard. And it's kind of Mickey Mouse a little bit. We're trying to. So if you like this content and it's helpful to you, if you would consider supporting us, there's some equipment that we can buy to set up a more permanent and
better quality
studio with some better microphones and some equipment that we need. But there's just not money in church budget right now, and I actually didn't budget for it because I didn't even think about it. So if you want to give a non-tax receivable donation, you can email me or message me on Facebook, or some of you have my cell phone number, and we would really appreciate that. Maybe we'll give you a shout-out on the podcast. We don't have any merch. That'd be fun to create some.
Maybe I'll give your donations we'll make merch.
Yeah, right. But honestly, and I know I'm not trying to guilt you. If you're like, no, just keep doing what you're doing, we will. But if you're like, yeah, sure, I can donate some money to this, and then we'll upgrade our quality of recording and all that kind of stuff. That would be awesome. So you can message me through email or on Facebook or my phone or whatever, and we would really appreciate that. So hopefully that's been helpful. And again, if you have any questions or things that you want us to cover on this podcast, again, you can always message me and we will do our best to make this as practical as possible. So we are going to sign off for today.
Bye.
Bye.